Again, we are on the subject of prayer, and we are going to be discussing the questions after having made the applications in our study last week. And the applications that we made are four in number: that prayer brings comfort, that prayer brings healing to those who are sick, that prayer is the means by which the child of God gains forgiveness for his sins. So we pray to God and ask God to forgive us. He is just to do so. And then finally, that only those who are seeking God, who are desiring to serve Him, are those to whom God's answer will be yes. In other words, when we talk about God answering prayers, being willing to help and to benefit them, that sin is something that comes between you and God's willingness to help you providentially. As Isaiah the 59th chapter indicates, that our sins separate us from God so that He will not hear the petitions that we make. And so we cannot expect God to hear our prayers and to accept our prayers if we are living in rebellion to Him. So those are the four applications that we're going to make and are made in our study last week. And there are a couple of questions that we wanted to just spend a few minutes talking about at the end of this lesson, to kind of flesh out a little bit practically those particular applications. By the way, as we're discussing prayers and answered prayers, there are a couple of things to make note as far as developments with regard to those of our number who have been healed. We're grateful for the fact that Brother Ron Doss is now able to be at home, so he has improved sufficiently to where he was able to leave the hospital. The intent is for them to give him home health care, and in a short period of time, I forget now, was next week, I think is what it said. Next week he's supposed to go back to the doctor, and from that appointment, maybe it can be determined when he can begin his chemotherapy again. But he has improved sufficiently to go home. And then we have even better news with regard to Sister Dorothy Garcia. She, as you remember, has been having some problems with her heart. They felt it necessary to do a heart ablation sometime in the future, but that has resolved itself sufficiently where the doctor says that's no longer necessary. So we're very grateful for that and happy that she is doing better. So that's something to rejoice about. And we certainly have reason to rejoice often when we offer up prayers to God, both for the blessings that He gives to us, and as we accept and recognize that He has answered our prayers. And we want to talk a little bit about that. Let's look first of all at question number one in the material. And I want to make note, first of all, I use the word anecdotal here in this particular question. So I wanted to find that, first of all, just kind of in case there's anyone that's not exactly familiar with the term. There are limitations when you refer to anecdotes. An anecdotal a testimony, it's an example from my life or an example from your life. And unfortunately, often anecdotes are used as proof when anecdotes are, to a very great extent, subjective. And they are personal and have reference to personal perception. So to give you just as an example, there may be individuals who will anecdotally talk about how God has blessed a particular ministry that they've been involved with, when if you know God's word and recognize that what they're doing is not authorized by God, you know that God is not blessing that nor pleased with that. Be similar to Matthew chapters 7, when you had those individuals who were engaging in such unlawful activities, but saying, "We're doing it in your name," and he calls it iniquitous works. And so people can perceive that God is acting on their behalf, and that may not be the case, especially with regard to something that they perceive to be pleasing to Him, when scriptures reveal that He's not pleased at all. And so there is a limitation as to the effectiveness of that. Having said that, when we talk about the examples of God's providence as God answers prayers, the concept of providence, God working providentially in our lives, is by its nature something that is difficult to establish with any evidentiary surety. In other words, we perceive that God answered our prayers in any particular situation or circumstance. God answered our prayers. Ron Doss has been able to go home. God answered our prayers with regard to Sister Garcia's heart beating better now than what it was before. An atheist would say, God didn't have anything to do with that. It's just natural process. Medicine has been taken. Time has happened. It's healed. So God didn't have any part to play. We as Christians accept that God does play a part in these things, and sometimes it is more evident than others. There are times when you can't imagine any escape, any way of overcoming a conundrum, a circumstance of persecution, a difficulty in your life, a sickness, an illness, or whatever the case is, and then it happens, and it happens from a direction that you weren't expecting at all. And it is an amazing thing. And while it's, again, anecdotal, we are right to give God the glory in regard to those things. And so we make note of that. And when I ask this question, though anecdotal, please give examples where you receive comfort through prayers offered to God. By the way, this particular question is different from the second question with regard to actually receiving healing with regard to an illness, because those are two different applications. In the material previous, prayer brings comfort, prayer brings healing. Now, in saying that, if anyone is here who wants to give an example of where they were comforted or a difficult situation was alleviated after they had prayed to God for such release, then feel free to do so. But some of these questions are not necessarily intended for you to testify, but simply for you to be more mindful of those prayers that are offered, that are answered by God. In other words, I'm not asking that you share it with us necessarily. If you want to, feel free to do so. But what I want you to do is be mindful of those times when prayer is answered. And the second part of this question is more important, I think, with regard to any discussion, and that is, would keeping a list of God's answers to your prayers be beneficial, and if so, how? So, yes, Jerry.
Well, that's what for me, but I had a niece that married this guy, and they had two children, and he was unfaithful to her and everything, and they broke up. She never worked out and lived up on the East Coast in Virginia, close to the coast. They went to a church, but I think there were 8 people there, and I think 5 of them were her family. And she came down here, and she was very depressed, upset, and everything. And told her, I said, well, Paul, you need to pray, you know. She said, there's no chance, you know. I won't need anybody and everything. Wasn't too long after that, the sailor came in north of there to the naval base, single member of the church. Well, they've been married about 25 years now. But I thought that's the providence of God there, you know. And it strengthened her face and so much, and saw her yesterday, the first time in a good while, and we talked about that, and this fellow had somebody, he'd been in the Navy and gone somewhere, and somebody had taught him the truth, and he got transferred there.
Transferred there and met her. So that's an example of something coming out of nowhere, and a point that we'll make in this regard in more general terms. Now, I'm not saying that there may not be some in our number right now that are in the midst of a deep, difficult, dark time, because it certainly may be the case that there are some here. But there most probably are examples that each of us could give in our own personal lives where that despair was present, that we were having a very difficult time. It may have been something that even went so far as tested our faith. And not knowing where the relief would come. And we offer up prayers to God and petitions to Him. And if all of us have those circumstances and we're not presently in the midst of the particular thing we're thinking about, what that means is you came out the other side. And that there was a means of getting through that, getting out on the other side of it. And you didn't see where it was when you were in the midst of such difficulty, but now looking back on it, you can see where where and when you came out of that circumstance and what led to that. And these are the types of things that we want you to be mindful of so that you can recognize God working in your life. And that's the point that we're wanting to make in regard to this. Now, with regard to the second part of that, there are a couple of points to be made in regard to keeping a list. And I'm not necessarily wanting you to write it down, although certainly journaling and those kinds of things can always be beneficial. But if you make sure that you're mindful of the comfort and from whence the comfort comes and how the difficult circumstances in your life are resolved, how can that benefit you? How can that be a benefit that you're mindful of those things, that you meditate or think about those situations and circumstances? Yes, Jerry.
Give you confidence in prayer. If you know you've had success in the past,
Okay, good. That's one of the two that I wanted to emphasize in this regard. If you've seen God's help in your lives in the past, then when the next difficult circumstance arises and you're in the depth of that darkness at that point in time, you can have the confidence that God is with you and that God not only is capable, but God is willing. You know, there's two aspects. We recognize the omniscience and omnipotence of God, that God is capable of accomplishing anything. But when we understand as His children that He is mindful of our needs and that He cares for us and that He helps us through those things, that's the most powerful advocate that you possibly could have on your side in seeking your welfare. Then that gives you confidence that no matter how difficult life gets, I'm going to get through it with God's help. With God's help, I can get through it. Yes, sir. I'm Josh. Excuse me.
So, the idea you're looking at with this question is what we would perceive to be the positive answers and not the negatives?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are lessons that can be... And I mean, that's where the emphasis is, certainly. Because our topic in this series of lessons is the joy that we have and victory we have in Christ. So we're going to rejoice over the answers that we get that are helpful to us. Having said that, what comes to my mind immediately when you ask that question is the circumstance when the Apostle Paul asked that his thorn in the flesh be removed from him. And he asked it on several occasions, and the answer was no, my grace is sufficient for you. And he is able, as a result of that, to rejoice in his infirmities. And that this was something that kept him mindful, not only of God's favor, but also it kept him humble. And so it was a positive thing, even though the answer was in effect no. So he benefited even from a no answer. And so certainly we could be mindful in that regard. And a lot of times that happens. We recognize we don't always know what's best for us. We think we do, but we don't. So there will be times when we will offer up prayers to God and ask that a particular thing be removed or a specific type of resolution for a conflict or difficulty that we have. And instead, something entirely different happens to us that turns out that it works out well for us. Something we would never be mindful of. And perhaps in the beginning part of it, we're saying, oh, no, that's not what I meant, God. That's not what I meant. But in reality, it is something that turns out to be beneficial and helpful. You've heard that saying, be careful if you're going to pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, you may get tribulation, because tribulation is that from whence patience comes, as James chapter 1 tells us. And so, if you're asking God, give me patience, and then all of a sudden you're hit with tribulation, that's not what I meant, God, but at the same time, you grow and things good happen as a result of those things. So that's the other aspect of it that we might make note of. Anybody else want to ask, make it? Yes, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's the other, Jerry mentioned the first one, the confidence that you get as a result of the prayers being answered. That's the second one we wanted to emphasize. And we've kind of done this a couple of times in other applications. But if you are mindful of the answered prayers, then that will make you more mindful of the source of such thanksgiving, and you will give thanks to God for what He's granted to you. So as we recognize, it's an ungracious servant who does not express thanks for the one that is his benefactor. And we need to make sure we understand the importance, whenever a prayer is answered, to thank God about that. Be magnanimous, be profuse, be quick to thank God for the good that He has done for us. And so again, as we offer up prayers today, we will offer up prayers of thanksgiving to God that Dorothy is better. And that's a wonderful blessing that we enjoy as a result of the petitions that we have made to it. All right, anybody else before we go to question two? Question number two then has reference to sickness. And again, this is somewhat anecdotal, but the question is, can you give examples where God answered prayers for sickness? We've talked about a couple of anecdotal incidents in this regard tonight. But then there's some gradations in this regard. So what about God answered prayers for sickness? And we talk about full and total sickness, recovery, and such. And what about those times when full recovery is not granted, where perhaps some good comes as a result of healing, but it's not a full return to favor? Why in this regard is it not a full return? And so that's one. And then the other aspect of it, okay, we're praying and we're trusting God, so why do we need medicine? So there are the two points that I want to bring out regard to it. Again, not necessarily asking that you give me examples. I'll tell you what I was thinking when I was answering this question, is that every time that I have ever been sick, because I'm not sick right now, I'm well right now. So every time I've ever been sick, I got over it. And every time I got sick, I prayed God, please, get me over this. Help me be healed. I don't like being sick. And it worked every single time. Now again, I also took medicine, and from time to time, actually even went to the doctor, though I don't like doctors. But in regard to these things, I recognize the part that God plays in those things, and I'm thankful to Him for that. So I suppose you could say, every time you get sick and get well, then God has answered a prayer in that regard. But does anyone want to share any examples that would be... just to give us some encouragement before we get into the two important aspects of this question? I want to limit testimony. I don't want us to all just, you know, be talking about these things and forget the lessons that we want to learn from it. But if anyone wanted to share, that would be fine. Okay, then, the first question in this regard, what about when full recovery is not granted? Why is it that God does not answer prayers? And by the way, this is a answer that we need to give, and not only the individuals who claim the ability to heal miraculously. Okay, so I want you to consider this for a second. We take issue with those who make claims of miracles, being able to perform miracles. I'll give you the most egregious example of this, I think, in my thinking, is Oral Roberts. Now, some of you may not even know who he is because he's been dead now for a number of years. But Oral Roberts claimed to be a faith healer. He claimed to have healed thousands upon thousands of people in his revivals. With the laying on of hands, he could heal people. And yet, one of what he considers to be his greatest achievements was the building of, on Oral Roberts University, the building of a medical center hospital for the purpose of special studies into basically finding a cure for cancer. And some of you may remember that he claimed that a 40-foot tall Jesus told him, I think he was green too, 40-foot tall green Jesus, if I remember correctly, in a vision told him to build that hospital, and that he, Oral Roberts, would be the one who would bring the cure for cancer to the world. And now he's dead. Has been dead a while. Cancer's still here. And headway's being made, surely. But if he has that ability to heal, then why wasn't he there every day at that medical center, laying hands upon those individuals and healing them individually of the cancers that they have? And I think that it's very difficult for an individual who claims such miraculous healings to have a legitimate answer for that. But an atheist secularists would say that the same thing with regard to each and every one of us. If we claim that God has the ability to heal us providentially, and that He does heal us providentially, then what they say is, when you consider what's happening, you pray to God for healing, you take the medicine, you get better, you say God did it, you take the medicine, you don't get better, and you say, well, God just didn't, and on that occasion, allow for this to happen. It was not His will. God's will be done. This is the problem with anecdotal examples. And so we need to understand, first of all, recognize that we're not going to prove to an atheist that God exists by claimed divine healing or providential healing. It's not going to work. Because we cannot provide evidence sufficient to prove that. It can give us comfort. But in the midst of us receiving comfort, why is it that sometimes when we pray to God that He heal us, He doesn't? What's the answer to that question? Okay.
If God answered every one of our prayers and healed us every time, where would we get out? The multitudes followed Jesus because they realized He was actually healing people. Word got out, and that's why they went to get healed. They healed a lot of people. God doesn't want too much proof right now in the world. That's what faith is for. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Okay.
He has to limit how much He can do.
It is an interesting thing that the divine power of God has been demonstrated sufficiently through history for us to have eyewitness testimonies, and we have sufficient evidence that, in other words, the Word has been confirmed, His will has been confirmed, His person has been confirmed, so that there is sufficient evidence already in existence to convince an individual to believe in Him who has an open heart. There are some individuals that no matter what happens, they are not going to believe. And you'll remember in Luke 16, with regard to the rich man, as he was in torments, he asked that Abraham send Lazarus back to his brothers. And his answer was, in effect, Abraham's answer was, they've got enough already. He said, they already have Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to them, they won't listen to Lazarus, even if he comes back from the dead. So there are some individuals that no matter how much evidence is supplied, they're not going to believe. It's not going to be satisfactory or sufficient to them. But there is sufficient evidence for the purpose of confirming the Word, which is why miracles no longer are necessary. We have sufficient evidence. One thing I want to add to that is the real reality that this is not our final abode. As Hebrews 9 tells us, as it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Apostle Paul makes reference to us being in an earthly tent, a tabernacle that is perishing daily. The fact is, it is the lot of all men to die. God has appointed a limit with regard to how many years are upon the face of the earth. And there are, as a result of this world and the sin that is present in the world and such, the imperfections that are here, diseases, calamities, all those things befall both good and evil men. And it's God's intent that lives end and that this body decays. There are times when individuals make petitions where God will allow a furtherance of life. God will allow an improvement with regard to our state. But He is not going to suspend the laws of nature on our behalf so that we are healthy when we're 500 years old and living forever and still as young and feeling as good as we were in the first place. He could, but He's not going to. It's not His intent to do that. And so that's something that is helpful to us to acknowledge and to recognize that whenever we ask for healing. And I mean, just in my particular case, just to give you an example, I'm trying to walk again, get the weight off again a little bit, and my left knee was sore day before yesterday, really sore because of overuse. And I'm thinking about it, and you think, what do you think? Well, you know, 20 years ago, that didn't happen when I exerted myself like it is now. My back hurts, and when I get up in the morning, I creak, and all of those kinds of things. It didn't happen when I was younger. It's happening more now. Why is that? Why does that have to be? Because I'm getting old. I'm almost halfway through my life. I'm 54 now, so I'm almost halfway there. And as a result of that, as I progress, I'm going to get older. I'm going to become more infirm. More things will happen to me. It happens to each and every one of us because that's the natural end of all men. So while we appreciate when our prayers are answered, we also acknowledge the reality that this life is not what it's all about. And ultimately, as a faithful child of God, we can have the same idea, the same outlook as the Apostle Paul had in Philippians chapter 1 when he said that it's more needful for you that I remain, but to depart and be with Christ is far better for me. And so we recognize and acknowledge those things. And we do not expect that just because we ask God, that as a result of asking God, that these things will come to an end. The next place is better than this place anyway. You know, and I think it's not selfishness. It's a natural thing for us as men to hurt when individuals, especially if they're taken quickly from us too soon. And we hurt and we mourn. But if they're children of God, and we're talking based upon that basis, certainly now, the faith that we have, the victory that we have, the joy that we can have as Christians. Ultimately, if we're a faithful child of God and we die, there will be mourning and loss on the part of our family, but we won't feel that because we will be in a better place, in a better circumstance, in a better situation. And that's something to rejoice about. Even so much that in 2 Peter 3, with regard to God's long-suffering, the indication is you live righteously to hasten His second coming, to bring that time to an end more quickly. Yeah, I kind of want to live a long life on this earth, but I'd be really, really happy if the Lord comes tomorrow, in the sense of the fact that I'll rejoice in heaven. And if His long-suffering comes to an end, if His long-suffering comes to an end and His coming is hastened as a result of the righteousness of me or us in that regard, and that is something to cause rejoicing because we will more sooner have opportunity to be in His presence for an eternity. So keep that in mind. Kind of, it's a perspective thing that we need to be mindful of. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Going back to when God says no or yes in answering prayers, I was thinking of Matthew 5 verse 45 when it's written that for God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So we see that good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. I was back to the idea that God's not a respecter of persons, even in the not just in the spiritual realm, but also just in the everyday life. But we have to see that sometimes things just happen. That oftentimes people want to look for a meaning or a cause, even when it comes to, say, they have a child who develops a deadly disease. They say it's something I did, or the original sin, and this, that, the other. Sometimes it's just, it happens. And just remember that. That also that we do have, as you're saying a moment ago, a better place to be. And also you're asking for anecdotal evidence of answered prayers. I go with my brother-in-law, Joe. A few years ago, he was in the hospital here in town, given a 30% chance to live or less through the night due to bird flu due to his heart. And after that, the doctors have said, he'll never live a normal life, he'll be confined to a wheelchair, can't do anything, any sort of physical activity. Yet today, he's been running marathons, he's very active, very healthy. So do you see that God has answered prayers, not just in the sense that, oh, he made it through the night, but also he made it through the night, and then it went beyond what the doctors ever expected for his recovery.
Good, good, good example. Dennis, you heads up.
Thank you for talking about Our faith in God doesn't depend on the gifts that He gives us. And that's the point you're making. Whether He heals us or not, doesn't affect our love, obedience, and faith in Him. And it reminds me of the things that Jesus said to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John. Remember the context. They were standing on the shore. Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And he ended up telling the people what was going to happen to him, you know, before the end of his life. And then Peter said, turns up.
You know, it's one of those things, I'm just thinking about this when you were pointing it out, because I feel like I've lived a very, very blessed life in so many ways. And I see so many other Christians who've had very, very difficult, hard lives. And you always hear that, and hear people say that, you know, that you know, God knows you're strong and you can handle this. And so it makes me think maybe that God knows I'm pretty weak and I couldn't handle it, because, you know, I have four kids, all born healthy. You know, the first real loss of family was my father. Up until that time, I had not really been touched with a close family passing away, other than time and circumstance with regard to my older relatives. And never had to suffer. I mean, the only time I've ever been in the hospital, I was 16, had a tonsillectomy. So I've been very, very fortunate with regard to those things. But you're right. I mean, we look at someone who's had an uneventful life like mine, and full of joy in so many ways, and you see other Christians, and you think, you know, well, why are they hurting so much? And I've been spared. But the opposite, and this is where I rejoice at that. The danger comes when someone who's suffering so much can say, why is he being spared and I'm suffering so much? And that point that Dennis made is helpful to us, to recognize that whether we receive gifts or not does not change the fact that our hope remains. And it has absolutely no bearing with regard to our faithfulness or God's faithfulness toward us, because it's not about this life. And we should not look at others and be resentful toward God because of what they have that we don't. Because ultimately, if we're faithful to Him, we have the most important thing. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while, vanishes away. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Concerning the value of the soul, that's the greatest of gifts, and we need to keep that in mind. Yes, Josh?
While everything has been said, well, this isn't it. I've been pondering the thought of examples where full recovery was not granted. I'm assuming in that question, we're talking that some recovery was granted, at least.
Right, yeah, that's the scenario I had. You got better, but you didn't get back to where you were.
Okay.
And maybe there's lifelong consequences of whatever it was that you saw.
Well, why was it not given? We can't fully say, but while it is our duty to march on as individuals stricken by whatever, as you mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul was, you know, there are various things that God does in our lives for the benefit of others. And by that I mean, if it is, say, both of the Dosses, Ron and Colt, wow, they are chronically ill. Continually. They get over something and something else happens. Well, yes, that's bad for them, but it is also very good for us, because it gives us an occasion to do kindness to them as our brothers and sisters. The opportunity wouldn't exist to show that kindness, to do things for them, if nobody ever got sick.
Good point. Now, there's that, because it gives us opportunity to help, and I talk about getting the star in my crown, you know, and that ability to help. But the other thing about this, and this, I thought that's where you were going in the first place, is that we are benefited so much by the faith and perseverance and steadfastness that they show. We're strengthened as a result of it. I tell you, with regard to the conversations that I have with Hope, and they are similar. She talks to me about this quite a bit. She gives complete complete glory to God and credit to God for the fact that she is still alive. And this is a woman who's had a brain tumor for years and years and years and years. And when she first got it, the doctor said, "That's it. You're not gonna go home." And she told him after the surgery, "I'm gonna have surgery," and it was probably a surgery to kill her. She's told him, she said, I'm gonna be home 2 days after the surgery. She probably shouldn't have gone home, but she went home 2 days after the surgery. She determined that she was going home, and she gives God the credit Well, the surgeon, he was cutting it out, but the reason she's alive and still here is that God has determined that Ron still needs her, and that's the way she puts it. But the it's almost childlike in her approach to that. It's complete and total trust in God and the fact that she gives Him credit for the fact that she remains. She knows that one day God will say that it's time to come home, but she gives Him the credit for the fact that she remains. And I tell you what, every time I talk to her, I do one of two things. I either feel a little bit ashamed that there's not the same degree of just complete and total trust in Him that I see in her, but also I'm strengthened greatly by her testifying concerning how God has helped her in her life. And so we're very much benefited from that as well. I want to get to the next part of that because this in the Romans 8 lesson I wasn't happy with until we got to the questions. The questions were great. And I think that's kind of happening here in this particular case. We're getting some good discussion from the questions. But we do want to finish tonight so we can start with lesson 8 next week. So let's get to the last part of question number 2, and that is, does prayer preclude efforts to heal using medicines and surgical treatments? Now, you recognize that I believe it is the Jehovah's Witnesses that are, at least, they limit themselves. Christian Scientists are at least to a certain extent or another. I think there's been some changes with regard to both denominations and what they allow. They used to be very stringent in their refusal of medical help because they believed that all you had to do was to pray to God and receive healing. I want to remind you of James chapter 5 and verse 14. James 5 and verse 14. Concerning those who are sick, the instructions given by James there is, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I do want to make note of the fact that we had a very lengthy discussion as to what was actually intended by that. And when we studied James a number of months ago. I don't want to really get into that discussion again. But what I believe that this particular passage indicates is that the anointing of oil was a medicinal act. I recognize the limitations of medicine back then, but this was something that they could do to help alleviate symptoms. I mean, there are people who probably are here now that will tell you that essential oils are very beneficial and helpful. So I think that there's a biblical example that we have numerous, actually, but that's one. Again, another example would Paul's instructions to Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. So he actually gave him some therapeutic encouragement or instruction in that regard. So my view would be that what God intends is for us to use. I mean, He's created the universe, created the world with herbs and compounds and things that we can distill and such. I mean, penicillin came from moldy bread. So it's there, and men are able to distill that and use their wisdom to accomplish these things. And God intends for that to be the case. And so that would be the quick answer I would give to it. Anybody want to add anything to it? Yes.
It gets back to that old funny that proves the point. The huge flood guys on top of his roof. First guy that comes by says, "Hey, it's going to get bad. So much rain up the river. We're expecting more here. Okay, you need to get out." Guy comes by in a boat. You need to get out. Guy comes by in a helicopter. Yeah, no. Through all, God will save you. Well, man eventually gets swept away. He dies. God, why didn't you save me? I sent you a warning on foot. I sent you one in boat. I sent you a helicopter. We don't know by what means God will work through.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good illustration. Okay.
Luke was a physician, and we have examples that if it was an occupation that was not didn't work with Christianity, then you left that behind. Simon the sorcerer couldn't be a sorcerer anymore if he wanted to be a Christian. So if Luke was still a physician, then a physician is something that is allowed.
A beloved physician who traveled with Paul, and I have a feeling Paul used him a number of times, so that would be a good example. Yeah, there's no indication in Scripture that the office of physician is something that is unacceptable to God. So that's a good point. Yes, Nick.
Well, it's big to know that, God has allowed over the years for things that we've discovered and invented, including in the medical field. I think you have today, people back way back when they would have no hope. So part of that answer to that is about, like Craig before, whenever we have a member that taught God to the hospital to have surgery or some kind of treatment, and his brothers and sisters in Christ pray for him, he gets well. On the other hand, you have somebody who's not a child of God, but they're religious, and those who are with them, when they pray, and that person gets well, they say, well, God did that. But we know from the last week about God does not hear the prayers of sinners, and we know from Proverbs 28:9 that those that do iniquities are lawless, their prayers are an abomination to God. So, we know what the prayers are healing.
And that's understood. The medicine does heal. The question would be whether a Christian can, in good conscience, participate with the medicine rather than the conscious objection, because it obviously medicine does work. I mean, you can put an antibiotic in a solution of germs, and you see the germs die, and the medicine is killing them. So medicine actually does work. We know that. And as Christians, the point we're making is that Christians can participate in that, and it can work and coincide with the prayers that we offer. Okay, we just got a minute left, so I want to just answer the final question very quickly. Two words we can say. What besides prayer is required for a child of God to be forgiven of sin? What besides prayer? True repentance, yes. Godly sorrow leading to repentance. So repentance and prayer. So you're sorry for your sin, truly sorry, determined not to pray to sin anymore. You ask God in prayer to forgive you, He will. Okay. The second question of this, does God always forgive legitimate requests for forgiveness? In other words, a truly penitent individual, if he offers up a prayer to God and asks God to forgive him, will God forgive him 100% of the time? Yep, He does. That's a wonderful promise that He's given us. Okay? So, long, long answers to the first two questions, very quick one to the last one. Appreciate very much everyone's kind attention today. I think that we did a good job going through a discussion of this. Hopefully, something that is encouraging to you and will be helpful to you in having joy as we go on and go through those dark times. I encourage you to pray during those times. We will pick up with lesson number 8 next week.